I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is something a little different for you. This is a safe space here for independent thinkers beholden to no party, no politician. We take things from a slightly different point of view on this show quite often. When it comes to a different point of view, particularly when it comes to health-related issues, we do this every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. I do a segment called Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, and I will do that today in the second hour. I've got a little bit of information. My long overdue sunscreen show, COVID, has really just knocked it off the rotation, but I think probably for the last couple of years, we're going to take a look at some sunscreen stuff. I've got some new audio that I found. It's got some pretty shocking warnings in it. Certainly something if you're coating your kids with sunscreen as you head out, now that people are venturing back out of their homes, you need to be aware of. And I have also got a Tales from the Pharmaceutical Sales Business, a story that I think sums up a lot of the problems with our current medical system. I think this is an eye-opening story, and this is from somebody firsthand from inside the pharmaceutical sales model and the medical system model that really puts patient outcomes second, maybe third. I'm not really sure where patients fall a lot of times. Anyway, just it's a pretty amazing story. So we'll get to that next hour. It didn't take long. I ended my show yesterday playing the clip from America's Frontline Doctors. I think that was the name of their group. And it's an interesting thing. They stood on the steps of the Supreme Court. This thing went pretty viral. I played it on my show because it was censored from social media. And although I think 14 million people had seen it within the first day of its release, it was censored very quickly. And so I want to give some airtime to what big tech seems to think is not something we should consider. And what I say with all of these censorings by YouTube and Google and Twitter, where if there's anything brought out that goes against, you know, your Anthony Fauci's, your mainstream lockdown, masks will save us all narrative, if there's anything against that, they're being silenced. And I brought up the point yesterday, I believe doctors who have differing opinions on whether we should be pursuing lockdowns, whether schools should be opening, whether masks are the answer to our problems, whether the vaccine is the answer to our problems, when you have other licensed medical professionals with a different point of view, that's like getting a second opinion, and that's always wise. But YouTube, Google, Twitter, Facebook are all trying to censor our second opinions, which leaves us only with the Anthony Fauci's of the world. So I played this clip yesterday, and the most fiery part of it was this Houston doctor that we played who studied in Nigeria. I think she might have been from Cameroon. And she really went on quite a tear on particularly hydroxychloroquine. Well, it did not take long for them to come out of the woodwork to try to discredit her. And I'll say something interesting about that when I get done with this. But they dug into this woman's past, and I got to tell you, she does have some pretty bizarre beliefs. It doesn't make her wrong on hydroxychloroquine. It doesn't make her wrong on coronavirus. But she has had some pretty out there things, and it did not take much more than a day that she went viral on this before. And again, Donald Trump sent out that tweet with her speech on it. And I believe, I know Donald, or maybe it was just Donald Jr., sent this out and considered her a great doctor, which just gave them, the media, something more to pile on. I think the Trump family just needs to shut down their Twitter, at least Donald Trump. Don Jr., I guess he can he can do whatever he wants to, but I just wish Donald Trump would just shut his Twitter account down permanently. But let's see what some of this woman has said. This is Emmanuel, the woman's name, the doctor's name, a pediatrician and religious minister, has a history of making bizarre claims about medical topics and other issues. She has often claimed that gynecological problems like cysts and endometriosis are in fact caused by people having sex in their dreams with demons and witches. Now, I'll do my research on that. Maybe that's a topic at some point for my health show. I was not aware of that. They also said she alleges alien DNA is currently used in medical treatments and that scientists are cooking up a vaccine to prevent people from being religious. And despite appearing in Washington, D.C. lobby to Congress on Monday, she has said that the government is run in part not by humans, but by reptilians and other aliens. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not just going to dismiss all of those things she said out of hand, because I do believe when you look at the sheer evil of some of the people running this country, maybe they are aliens. I love the reptilian story. I don't put anything to it. But, you know, when you've got people like Hillary Clinton, who does not sweat, I got to tell you, it makes you a little suspicious, doesn't it? This is the trait of a reptilian, and Hillary Clinton, a true power-grabbing, corrupt oligarch in this country, she doesn't sweat. I don't, there may be something to that. What was that? I guess Prince Andrew tried to tell us that he didn't sweat, too, back in the day when it came to the Ghislaine Maxwell stuff. But what's interesting to me is that, so this doctor has made some bizarre statements, but they were not associated with her speech yesterday. And so it'd be interesting to know if this is the bar now for anybody who speaks up on any topic across the board. Now, obviously, the media piled on her because she was kind of bolstering one of Donald Trump's things on hydroxychloroquine. And so they went after her. This video of the America's Frontline Doctors went pretty viral, particularly among conservatives. So they made a concerted effort to go debunk her. But is everybody who has ever said anything that is odd or strange in their past now disqualified from ever weighing in on any other issue before? Because I got to tell you, that's going to take a lot of work. There's a lot of tweets out there by a lot of people, from celebrities to politicians to, do we have to go through everything that they've said over the last 20 years and see if there's anything that sounds cuckoo crazy? We just had Kanye West just announce he was going to run for president for a couple of days. If you look at some of his rants, some of it's pretty bizarre, and some of the things he says are pretty spot on and pretty interesting and thoughtful. So anyway, they went after her. There was one, I'm going to double down on that, though, because I did play her on this show, and if the experience that she spoke to in treating 350 COVID patients in Houston is accurate, that's the thing I'm most interested in. Because she talked about treating 350 patients with COVID in Houston, some diabetics, some asthmatics, and they didn't lose a single person, and she reassured them and used hydroxychloroquine. That's really the most important thing out of her speech, but of course they will focus on some of the crazier things that she said in the past. This is another doctor. He's actually a psychiatrist that has aligned himself with this group, America's, let me see if I've got the actual name here. It's a White Coat Summit. I think they were called America's Frontline Doctors, something along those lines. So they're from all kinds of different disciplines. I played clips from three different doctors yesterday, one of them being a pediatrician that said it's time to get the kids back to school. But anyway, this is a psychiatrist that came not during that outdoor press conference at the Supreme Court, but he did. This appears to be indoor somewhere, and he was talking about the psychiatric effects of the COVID lockdowns, particularly on children. And I just found it interesting and worth listening to as well.
The fear is real, but it's not based on reality. I have tried to provide facts, data, statistics, information to my patients and their parents for weeks and months. Some of them do listen. Some of them do change their minds because they believe that there is probably more going on than what they're being told, and what they're being told is probably not entirely accurate, and a lot of it is misinformation. But very many of my parents and children don't respond to information.
And that's very interesting to me, because that's the exact experience that I have. Some people are opening to listening and taking in information, but particularly when it comes to COVID, I found a real wall. People are pretty well entrenched in their beliefs. Some believe it's a hoax. I don't believe it's a hoax. I think it's a real disease. You do not want this thing, but I also don't think it's something that's an existential threat to our way of life and the life of every human. The death rate on this thing is small and manageable and just another risk on top of all the other risks that we assume every day, but it's not a hoax. And other people think this is going tearing through this country like wildfire, and we're going to see millions and millions of people, and we're never going to get back to normal ever, 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 ever. And I do not believe that either. But it's interesting when you talk to people about this. If they've already made up their mind that it's a hoax, then there's no talking them out of that. If they've already made up their mind that this is an existential threat to us all and we need to lock down again and everybody needs to wear a mask even to bed when they go to sleep, you're not going to get through to them either. People just simply refuse to take in new facts on this issue.
I'm a big proponent of facts. I'm a big proponent of information. I'm a big proponent of science. I'm a physician. That's how I was trained. But I also know that unless we deal with this fear and we take it and face it head on, the information will not be of use. You cannot use information, no matter how accurate it is, unless you are in a calm state of mind. Anybody who's worked in the military knows this. When you are in a state of panic, when you are terrorized, when you are traumatized, you cannot think clearly. Most of the adults in my practice with children that come in for treatment are in that state. They are not responsive to information. They are allowing fear to guide their decisions. They're refusing to bring their children in. They're insisting on Zoom or telephone calls. They're preventing their children from playing outside. They're preventing their children from going shopping with them. They're preventing their children from participating in sports. They're coddling their children because they think that that's what's best for them. The children are suffering. In my view, this is child abuse. We are training an entire generation of children to live in fear.
Amen.
To live in fear of people. We are training an entire generation of children to live in their parents' basements until they're 40 years old, so that they can be safe. And I've heard this word safe for months now. Whenever I hear the word safe, I always ask the following question: compared to what? Compared to driving? As we heard earlier, driving is far more dangerous. Far, far more dangerous than going to school. Safer than staying at home? Children are getting sick at home.
He goes into a story there that I think is a little extraneous, so I'm not going to keep playing that. That is Dr. Mark McDonald. He's a practicing child and adolescent psychiatrist in West Los Angeles, and I think he's right. I mean, I think this is, I've talked about what I think is the child abuse of climate hysteria. When you take a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, and you tell them that the planet's going to end in 12 years if we don't do something, and you see these kids that are just hysterical, screaming at authorities or screaming into social media, we've got to do something, and they're at the verge of tears because they think the planet's about to end because some climate scientist freaked them out about it. That's child abuse in my estimation. You're supposed to actually shield your children from being scared of life. You're supposed to handle those things for them and shield them from these things. Not hide things from them, but you're not supposed to overplay something because you're freaked out. You're not supposed to pass along these stressors onto your children. They're not mature enough to handle these things. And he talks about this being, you know, some level of child abuse. I will add, because I like to put my little points in here too, you know, he talks about making bad decisions out of a time of panic. And he's exactly right on that. We did a lot of that after 9/11, and this is what I talk about. You know, everybody, it's pretty easy for a lot of people on the right to see the panic of the left and to see the overreach and the overreaction of people, particularly on the left, but not exclusively, to coronavirus. They're just scared to death. Or climate change. They want to change everything because some scientist told them that the world's going to end in 50 years if we don't cut carbon emissions, you know, whatever it is. And we look at them and we say, are you insane? But I watched after 9/11 and I watched people on the right get freaked out about the fact that there's a terrorist behind every bush, and you gave up a ton of rights. You actually allowed and encouraged a federal government to set up a surveillance grid on the American people where they can spy on your phones and track your movements and listen to your phone calls and read your emails because you were freaked out. So if we would all, both right, left, middle, If everybody would kind of figure out how they use fear to get things done that they may want to get done, how they control us with fear, we might actually make it not as as an effective a tool for them. But I just always want to point that out because everybody loves to look at the other side and, you know, see what they're doing. It's so easy to see what the mistakes on the other side, but we so often refuse to admit the mistakes we have on our own side. When we come back, I've got another clip here of just another thing about these numbers that just stinks to high heaven. And again, I'm not calling coronavirus a hoax. I don't want it. I don't think you want to get this thing. Many people, really not a big deal, but I don't really want the risk. It seems like sometimes it really kind of goes funky with some people, and I certainly don't want to spend any hospital. Pretty much my main goal in life is to spend no time in the hospital. I do not want to be. Bad things can happen in a hospital. There's all kinds of infections and medical mistakes. My goal in life is just don't have to spend time in the hospital. So that's great. But you see, you don't want this thing. But at the same time, it's such a shame. We cannot trust any of these numbers we're seeing. Cases, deaths, when you hear spikes. When you hear all of these things, some of them may be true, absolutely true. The problem is when you get so much misinformation, it is very hard to just trust it all. And I'll show you that when we come back. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
You know, I was thinking during the break about this idea of just scaring your children from what that psychologist was just talking about. He considers it child abuse to terrorize these children with fear over COVID for something that is not killing very many children. Some tragic stories, absolutely, but to really freak your kids out about this. We're supposed to protect kids from that stuff. You know, I was born late 1960s, grew up in the 1970s. I don't remember my parents telling me, oh, we're all going to die soon. The Soviets have got the bomb. And I was born not that long after Bay of Pigs. There certainly was the nuclear threat from Russia. I can't imagine in my little 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old psyche, if my parents had constantly told me every morning I could wake up, it could be my last day because the Russians were going to take us out. The Soviet Union was going to destroy. I mean, I just can't imagine them fear-mongering to me that way. My parents told me the way the world worked. I mean, they encouraged me to kind of know what's going on and those kinds of things, but they didn't try to make me scared for anything. Look, I look at the financial picture, what we're doing in this country right now, and I fear, but I don't tell my children, oh, you've got no chance at a future. I mean, no way. There's just no way the United States, we're going to collapse any day now. I mean, I wouldn't do that to my children. They're 19, getting ready to start on a career. I want to dash all their hope. I want to depress them about something. I think parents have become so irrational and we're projecting so much onto our children. Speaking of that, there is a narrative coming out of the medical community right now that is driving me insane. And this is largely on the news. God love all you good doctors and nurses out there. I'm not casting aspersions at all of you, but it just hit me this morning. There was something on NBC News this morning, and doctor came on, and he's looking in the camera. He's doing his Zoom thing, and he just looks with this really worried look, and he goes, these deaths are preventable. That's the real tragedy. This is preventable. And it is an idea of shaming people, of scolding people for whatever he believes should be done, complete shutdowns, which destroys businesses and destroys lives and will destroy families across the country, will cause suicides, will cause financial hardships. But he just looks at it like, how can we be so how can the American people be so stupid? This is so preventable. And it just hit me. It's this idea. Well, what isn't preventable? I mean, aren't car accidents preventable? No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you're not going to come into some kind of an accident some way. Somebody comes out of nowhere. Somebody runs a red light and smashes into you. But the bottom line is, you being at that intersection was preventable. You didn't have to drive somewhere. I mean, airplane crashes are preventable. If people would just stop flying, we don't have to have these plane crashes and these deaths, but people just insist on flying. You know, I've done on the show, not in the last week or so, but you know, all the diabetes deaths. That's largely in type 2 diabetes, a largely preventable disease. But they don't come on air. They haven't been coming on air for the last 5 years and go, what the hell's going on with all you people with type 2 diabetes? Do you know this is largely your diet? It's preventable. They could list off 5 or 6 things to immediately take out of your diet and start to repair your health. Those are preventable. But, I mean, we could all just sit around like cows raised for veal, and we could avoid and prevent all kinds of deaths. But this idea that these medical professionals are scolding us, oh, this is so unnecessary. All you have to do, Americans, is completely shut down your life, go under house arrest, wear a mask in your home, never hug your children until we give you the go-ahead, never interact with another human being from less than 6 feet away, and we can save some lives. Yeah, well, we can save a lot of lives in a lot of ways. If we're willing to go through that. You know, we've had to live with viruses on this planet for as long as we've been here. It's part of the risk of living on planet Earth. But to act like we are responsible for every single infection and death is just horribly, horribly disingenuous to me. To act like we're acting somehow irresponsibly by, I don't know, going to work, going to a gathering where we celebrate other people's, I mean, just anything. Just moving about the planet on something that has got such a small, small, small fatality rate, particularly if you're under about 70 years old. It doesn't mean this is a time to be reckless. And again, I'm going to say it's like driving in the rain. You make some adjustments to driving in the rain, driving in the snow. When there's an ice storm in Mississippi, a lot of people stay home, right? We're smart enough to do that. They don't have to tell us to. We just decide, hey, today's not the best day to go to the grocery store, not the best day to take the kids to a movie. The roads are slick as snot. Going to stay home. We're going to watch something on TV today. Tomorrow when the ice melts, we'll go to the movies. We make these kinds of just ideas every day. We don't need somebody to scold us into them. But it just drives me crazy. And here's just another thing, too, I'm going to throw in here. Here's just another little feather in the cap of all the lockdown people, and they think we just haven't done enough, and if we had just done more of what they said, everything would be great. Not to mention the 50 million people that have filed for unemployment over the last 4 months, and the 30 million plus who are currently on unemployment, whose financial futures are at serious jeopardy. I don't pay attention to that. If we just did more of what they recommended, everything would be fine. I love this story just to show you that there's always unintended consequence to all the good do-goodery that they're always telling us about. Americans are smoking more during the coronavirus pandemic because they are spending less on travel and entertainment and have more opportunities to light up. They are also switching back to traditional cigarettes from vaping devices in the wake of federal restrictions on e-cigarette flavors. I love our government. Don't you love the governments and the bureaucrats and all the busybodies? You remember when they had the 40 vaping deaths. I'll give you the smoking death statistic in just a second. So more people are smoking. Pandemic lockdowns have meant fewer social outings and more time to smoke at home, Altria chief executive Billy Gifford said. Though unemployment rates are high, stimulus checks and increased unemployment benefits have helped ease the financial hardship for low- and middle-income cigarette smokers, he added. Adult cigarette smokers are making fewer trips to the store, but they are stocking up on packs when they go. Quote, fewer social interactions allow for more tobacco use occasions, unquote, Mr. Gifford told analysts on an earnings call Tuesday. The company's Marlboro brand accounts for 43% of all cigarettes sold in the United States. We currently have, the last statistic that I saw this morning from the CDC, 480,000 people die per year, every year. Not coronavirus, not a new virus that's killed, what, 145,000 or 150,000 people now? No, year in and year out, 480,000 people die from cigarette smoking. Were we worried about hospital beds by stacking 480,000 corpses? Did we need refrigerated trucks? They don't seem to think that's a health crisis because they barely ever talk about it. And now we've got more people smoking, number one, because of the lockdowns, and number two, because of the busybodies meddling in vaping and sending people right back to what we know is an incredibly deadly habit, which is smoking cigarettes. Congratulations to the government and the medical community that made the stock of Altria and Marlboro cigarettes soar. Good job.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I can't help doing these stories. You know, I was talking to a friend a couple of weeks ago who's pretty freaked out by coronavirus, thinks that everybody should wear a mask and anybody who doesn't is stupid. And a good friend of mine, I'm not mad at her for it. I didn't yell at her. I kind of debated her just a little bit, and then we moved on to some friendly topics. That's the way normal human beings interact. I didn't call her a libtard, and she didn't call me a Trumptard. We just went on with our lives and had a great conversation and in the end, and we probably still disagree about some of the things surrounding COVID. But one of the things I pointed out to her was how bad the statistics are, because I've read on this show, and you know, that's kind of the unfortunate thing. When I get in, I don't really get into many mass conversations. I just kind of, I know I'm not going to change a lot of minds when I'm one-on-one with somebody, and my friendship with them or my, you know, a nice interaction with just even a stranger who might bring the topic up, it's more important to me that we just walk away and neither one of us causes the other one any grief. If they want to know, if we want to get into a deep conversation, I'll make the points, because I'm cursed with this idea that by virtue of doing the show, I have played clip after clip. We know of the person who died in the motorcycle accident that was classified as a COVID death. I've told you about the person who had five times the legal limit of alcohol, died of alcohol poisoning in Colorado, and the coroner said, I don't know what happened, but suddenly he showed up as a COVID death. I marked him dead as of alcohol poisoning. And what's funny is that people will say, well, yeah, well, there's 150,000 deaths. That's just two. But that's the thing. We don't know how rampant these things are. We have no earthly idea. And I don't have much faith. You would think that when this is all said and done, into this year, into next year, they would go back, somebody would do a deep dive into the death records of everybody, and we get an accurate count of who actually died because they contracted COVID, and how many people, you know, elderly people were basically in hospice anyway, and this was either the tipping point or just coincidental to what they were already going to. I mean, you would think at some point we'd get accurate numbers, but I got to tell you, don't hold your breath. Even that work will be politicized. And so we never get it. But I ran across another story. This is about a guy who, one of his buddies tested positive, and then this happened.
The first call was expected. After all, Brock Ballew's co-worker had tested positive for COVID-19, and he assumed a contact tracer would reach out. But he wasn't expecting what that tracer would say.
Yes, she specifically said, I'm looking at it right here, and says that you tested positive. We're just following up a phone call to see how your symptoms are.
But Balu was confused, because he hasn't even been tested yet.
Is it possible that you just misheard her, you misunderstood what she said?
I'm 100% sure that's what she said, because she's looking right at it, and she specifically told me, I'm right here in the system, that you're showing positive.
Then, two more days of calls, with tracers saying the same thing.
She says, well, I'm still seeing that you're positive. It's just a courtesy call to check your symptoms.
Balu shared with News 4 Investigates the three calls he's received. All phone numbers come from the state health department. Balu's concern, if he is identified as positive in the state system, how accurate are the numbers they release every day?
I don't know what's going on, but it's wrong. And then I'm just another number when I'm not.
The state says they're now investigating, telling News 4 Investigates, quote, I can also tell you there is no concern with our count of cases in regard to our reporting of those who test positive. Those entries are based on lab results, not on information provided from the monitoring team.
Sure.
Balu says he's been told by the state that a third-party contractor made the calls to him, and they're now investigating to find out what happened. Jeremy Finley, News 4 Investigates.
And that's News 4, that's in Nashville, because I think, there's another narrative that goes around that I fight against, and it's the idea that that this is a blue state problem, that this is all the Democrats and all their, this is the Democrats are causing this stuff. Again, this hyper-partisanship in the world where everybody can only see the other side as any transgressions are always labeled on the other side. It just completely ignores things like Greg Abbott in Texas reimposing lockdowns and freaking everybody out. Tate Reeves here in Mississippi with a Republican legislature. We're still going through a lot of this stuff. I think we missed a huge opportunity here to be the state that says, hey, everybody, here's, we got a bad bug out there. If you got diabetes, if you're overweight, if you got a high blood pressure, if you got underlying conditions, this is a time for you to be really careful. But we do not shut down for a virus. We live with viruses. We accept the risk and we move on. But we didn't decide to do that. But this is Tennessee. This is another red state situation. This is apolitical. Now, are the Democrats trying to use it to hurt Trump? Sure, of course they are. Do they want to see the economy bad so they have a better chance in the November elections? Yes, I'm sure they are. But to act like this is some kind of a Democrat, George Soros orchestrated operation across the world just to hurt Donald Trump and the Republican Party just seems kind of asinine to me. The evidence of that is only in the mind of the hyperpartisan, as far as I can see. But anyway, there's just no way to trust these numbers. This is one guy. News 4 Nashville interviews one guy. Almost all of the stories that I've covered have been about, one instance. I brought up the thing in, I believe it was Houston. I know it was Texas, where the health authority came out and said, yeah, what we do is if somebody tests positive, we interview them and do kind of a census of where they've been and who they've interacted with, and then we come up with something called probable cases, and then we report those as cases. And they said this just out loud, either in an interview or a press conference. I'm losing track of which was which. Which means that they tested one positive, got one positive test, but they reported 17 positive cases because they just figured that 16 people around him got this thing. So they just, with probable cases, they report as cases. I mean, the numbers on this thing are nuts. And for the people who, people who want to believe that this is the end of the world probably stopped listening to me long ago. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I realized we were apart on this. I made kind of one little pass at bringing up some alternative information to the mainstream narrative that we're all going to die. I could feel it kind of rebuffed and ignored, and I just relented and went on with my conversation. Those convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. That is almost the motto of the United States right now. Very few people have the open minds, except for the listeners to the Mike Madison Show, here with our independent, safe space for thinking on your own. Anyway, I got one more segment before we get to the health show. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at completeflags.com. You know, I did my show yesterday. I talked a lot about the billions made by the pharmaceutical companies that the government picks as winners and losers. Talked about the vaccine czar that made $2 or $3 million in one single day after he was announced a vaccine czar. Moderna, Pfizer, all these companies, all this government money sloshing around. And I've said, you know, wouldn't it be great if you were on the inside of this stuff, either in the administration, in the government somewhere, in one of these corporations, in one of the big banks, if you got word that Moderna was going to get another $460 million from the federal government? Because when that news hits the public, the stock just takes off. It's just this is a license to print money. It is absolutely naive to think that that is not taking place right now. I don't know who's capitalizing on this stuff, but I have never seen a stock market with sectors like pharmaceuticals that have popped on this news, and a lot of people have advanced knowledge of this. We have to assume that they are just the people in Washington, D.C. and on Wall Street are just too moral to ever capitalize on something like that on non-public. It's called insider information, right? It's supposed to be illegal, but SEC doesn't do anything about it. Well, we got quite a tale today. Quite a tale, and I wish I could. I'd have the most popular show in maybe in the country if I could get a pipeline onto this insider information. Because check this one out: the formerly giant and now tiny Kodak. That's right, Eastman Kodak. You remember Kodak, right? Back when we used to have to use film, the company that was essentially just crushed because of digital, the move to digital. The formerly giant and now tiny Kodak has received a $765 million loan from the anyone government to shift to producing chemicals needed for local production of generic medicines, a step taken to ensure that the U.S. no longer solely relies on China and India for such inputs, which sent the stock sharply higher on Tuesday. Not just Tuesday, today's Wednesday. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. I mean, this is just absolutely, absolutely amazing. Do you not want to know where Kodak stock is today? And I got to hand it to the geniuses at Kodak. Look, they've been circling the drain for a while. They didn't anticipate. They didn't move quickly on the move to digital. It really caught them by surprise. But at one point, Kodak was trading at $2 a share. Let's take a look at its return today. It is currently trading at $31.90. Ooh, it's had a big pullback since the commercial break. Kodak stock as of today is up 301% as I report this to you right now. It was as high as $53 just a few minutes ago when I looked at it. So obviously very volatile. Maybe people are profit-taking. Maybe the insiders who got in and bought this stock and rode it from wherever it opened. I guess if it's up 300%, it opened up at sub $10 and went up to 50. I guess when they got five times their money on their inside information, they decided to let the rest of the suckers have it, and they sold out after they got a 500% return today on Kodak stock. The wealth transfer that's going on in this country right now, while nobody pays any attention, is quite stunning to me. On top of that, I got a couple minutes left. A couple days ago, I didn't report on this yet, but the Fed extends, here's a headline, Fed extends emergency lending program through the end of the year. Now, this is odd. I thought we were in a V-shaped recovery. I thought everything was fine. Why would the Fed need to extend emergency measures that are supposed to expire in September? But they're already saying that they're going to keep it going through the emergency measures. You understand what that means, right? Emergency measures. Now, these are the same emergency measures, many of which they started last September, long before anybody had even heard the word COVID-19. They said it was just going to be for a day. And then they said it was just going to be 2 days. And then they said, well, we're going to keep it going for a week. And then they came out and said, we're going to keep it going for 4 weeks. And then they came out and said, well, we're going to do this for 2 months. And then they decided to do it for 6 months. And they've been doing it ever since. They announced it was going to end up being about a year, and now they are saying it's going to be about 15 months. You understand that the Fed is just digging itself deeper and deeper into a hole and making things worse and worse and worse. And it's leading to things like this Kodak stock. The Fed sloshing all this money around is encouraging people to have to risk money in the stock market. You can't get anything on your savings accounts, right? So you have to get your money in the stock market. That's the only place you can get a return because you're earning, what, 0.25% on your savings account? So everybody's trying to find a way to make their money grow. They're putting it into the stock market. But I guarantee you the insiders just raked in Eastman Kodak returns over the last couple of days. But you're getting another $1,200 check. So, you know, it's like crumbs falling off a table. I ran across this yesterday. Matt Taibbi is a reporter that did some really good at reporting on the financial crisis back in 2008. He didn't come out with a real synopsis of it till around 2015, I think. It was several years. He did a lot of research in this. He's going to explain to you in just a second. I've got a little clip from him here that I just think is so – people need to understand this. He didn't understand finance. Well, I'll let him explain it. I want you to hear the conclusion. He met with somebody, and they explained to him how he needed to think about this because he said, you know, I don't really understand economics. And the guy said, oh, you don't need to understand economics. You need to look at it a different way. Listen to this.
So I knew nothing about any – I couldn't even balance my checkbook when they assigned me to that story. And I had to start basically from square one, and I was calling people – and saying things like, can you tell me something about something that I'll understand? You know, I was cold calling investment banks and literally saying that. And I finally got a guy to have lunch with me. And he said, your problem is that you're trying to understand this as an economic story. Once you look at it as a crime story, you'll get it. And from that point forward, I started to understand the whole mechanism, the subprime mortgage scam. It really was a scam. It's really just a massive corporatized version of like selling oregano as weed, basically. They took stuff that these incredibly worthless, highly risky mortgage loans. Right. You know, they would give out loans.
Well, he goes into it, and to be honest with you, it's on Joe Rogan's show. I'm not sure if there's going to be an F-bomb thrown in there, so I better get off the clip. But just listen to that. What he said was, this is an investment banker he met with said, oh, see, your problem at looking at the financial crisis in 2008 is that you're trying to figure it out economically. You're trying to figure it out like, you know, what went wrong. It's not an economic issue. It's a criminal issue. Now, to all you Obama supporters out there and all you Democrats who think you elected hope and change and a man of the people, how many of these bankers for this criminal act that led us to the financial crisis of 2008 went to jail under Barack Obama and his Attorney General Eric Holder? That would be zero. Because Barack Obama was captured by Wall Street like most candidates are. And so nothing happened. I throw that clip in there now because that's what we're seeing right now. Whether it's Kodak or Moderna or Pfizer or any of these companies that are receiving hundreds of millions, billions of dollars from the federal government and their stocks are going through the roof while all this is going on, it's another criminal act. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIEB. Thanks for joining me today. This is Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we go in a little bit of a different direction and do a segment called Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. This is about finding natural strategies to keep yourself healthier, feel better, look better, need less in terms of pharmaceuticals, just maintaining your health. I start every show before I get into this telling you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not an infectious disease expert, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a PT, I'm not a nothing. I'm just bringing you some information here that you can take and do your own research, trying to empower people to get them on their, to do a little bit of, to take control of your own health. There's a lot more control in your own hands than you know. Too many people are crossing their fingers, hoping they don't get things, or just resigning themselves to the fact that as you get older, you get sicker. And I'm a testimonial that that does not have to be the case. A lot of what I cover on this show is considered like alternative. It's actually a title for it, alternative health information. And it is as an alternative. A lot of the doctors that I play clips from or people that I interview, they are an alternative to the much more conventional medical advice out there of Western medicine. If the conventional medical advice is working out well for you, then go with God. I got some statistics today that I just say that what we've been trying for the last many decades, it just seems to me. I mean, I'm just as an observer. Again, I'm not a medical professional. I just look at the outcomes. I say, doesn't appear to be working. But if it's working for you, then that's great. And I want to explain, I'm going to tell you a little story here to start off the show. And this is why I'm just not a fan of mainstream Western medicine. Now, again, I think I'm going to do this disclaimer just about every time I bring these topics up, because I don't want to be misunderstood. And I've got so many doctors and nurses that I love and have great respect for. It's the system. It's kind of like anything. You know, there can be a company that's bad. Well, there are a lot of good people working there. There can be a government agency that's bad. Doesn't mean that everybody who works there is bad. It's the systems that they set up. And I think Western medicine, I love profits. I'm a capitalist. But there's so much needless suffering to generate profits when it comes to medicine that we cannot escape the massive amounts of money made only when people get sick. And one of the themes of the show is, try to not get sick so you don't need those treatments. It's much better to just avoid illness rather than it is to get it and then try to get it treated. But this is a story from a pharmaceutical rep. This is a firsthand story to me, directly to me, from a pharmaceutical rep. And she's not still with this company I'm about to mention. I'm actually not going to mention them by name, but I'm just going to tell you. This is just a kind of a glimpse behind the curtain of how this goes. I was not aware. I know what a stent is. When somebody's got a clogged artery, or, you know, do these stent operations, particularly, I know it from men. I assume it's the same for women, but I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a cardiologist. A stent, they go in through the groin and they put this thing in there and it expands a blood vessel to relieve blockage in a blood vessel. So if you're familiar with stents are, I was not familiar with something that she had sold at one point, which was called a drug eluting stent. Now, I'm going to read this. This is from Mayo Clinic. Stents are small mesh tubes inserted to keep arteries open after a procedure called angioplasty. Drug eluting stents have a polymer coating over the mesh that emits a drug over time to help keep the blockage from coming back. In general, drug-eluting stents are preferred over bare metal stents for most people. Drug-eluting stents are more likely to keep the blockage from recurring compared to bare metal stents. Plus, studies show the latest drug-eluting stents are at least as safe as bare metal stents. Now, I've never done a show on stents. I'm not an expert on stents. I know that they are used pretty widely. I know many people who have had stents inserted. I'm not here to speak about stents. But the difference between these drug-eluting stents and a regular stent was interesting to me. So I asked her, what is a drug-eluting stent? She told me. Now, I've told you. It's a stent coated in something because it puts a drug out there that stops the blockage from reoccurring. Here's where the story gets a little ugly. She said that she and her team, this was a new product when she started offering it. I don't know how long ago it was. At least it was a new product to her company. So they go out with this superior product, right? I mean, just intuitively, you would think, okay, if you've got two stents here, you've got one that you put in, but it might block up again, and you'd have to go back in and fix that. And you've got one that goes in and emits a drug to stop it from blocking back up. What do you think would sell better? obviously, it seems, I mean, just intuitively, without any medical background, it seems like the one that would not block up again would be the one you'd want to sell. Well, what did her team find out? Her team realized pretty quickly that doctors were impressed with the science, but they weren't really taking the drug-eluting stents as much as they were the bare metal stents. And they did a little bit of research, of course, being in the industry. And again, this is somebody in this industry. They realized the reason for that. And the reason was that they made so much money off the stent surgeries that by putting the drug-eluting stents, which reduced the chance of another surgery, people weren't very interested in that. Now, this is from a pharmaceutical rep. I don't know how widespread this is. I don't know if this was maybe she and her team just ran into certain cardiologists that were maybe not as ethical. But just when you stop and think about that for a second, you think, who pays the price for that? The patient. It's not just even the money to the insurers or the money that the doctors would make, but you're talking about a patient who has to suffer another blockage and then have the fear and anxiety and health effects of another stent surgery to replace the first one that got blocked. As opposed to making less money by just putting the drug-eluting stent in there. But they allow patients to get blocked again so that they can generate another surgery. And this is a problem in the medical system. Again, God love doctors and nurses that are out there trying to help people. I'm sure every doctor you talk to would say, oh, that's not me. I would never do that. And most of them are right. Some of them are lying to us. But this is the problem with this system right now. We have a sick care system, which is nobody makes any money until you come down with something, either something chronic and horrible or even something temporary. The system is not designed to keep everybody healthy and happy and moving along. The money is made on disease. As a lot of people before me said, we have a disease management system. We do not have a health care system. We have disease management. I ran across something today that just, I can't even remember where I got to it, but something was mentioned about autoimmune diseases. I believe it was within the context of vaccines. I'm not comparing the two. It's just autoimmune disease was mentioned in something I was listening to. And I just thought to myself, I just took a quick look, and I said, I wonder how bad autoimmune diseases have gotten over a period of time. And this gets me back to my point, why I think the medical system needs to reexamine their strategies. If you look at charts of diabetes, if you look at charts of cancers, if you look at charts of autism, if you look at charts, you will see these exponential rises, and their percentage rises, not head count. I understand we've got a bigger population now than we used to. The charts that you'll see are percentage of the population that suffer from asthma or ADHD or any of these other things. And these numbers are going up, up, up. And so to the medical community, I say, God love you for saving lives and you want to help people. Are you ever stopping to think, why are all these things going up, 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 up? And more in the United States than most other countries. Is it because Americans are just somehow genetically defective? Are we just a defective people? I don't believe that. Are we just more depressed naturally than the rest of the world? Or is it possible that the pharmaceutical industry just loves selling antidepressants? But the medical community, and this is my biggest criticism, refuses to look at those charts and say, hey, we got a problem here. We need to start rethinking things. If this was only a chart from the last 5 years, everything was humming along fine except for the last 5 years, and they jumped on it and said, hey, wait, something's going wrong. We were doing great for the last 100 years, and all of a sudden the last 5 years, something's going. No, but these are charts from the 50s and 60s. Where these diseases and conditions just start rocketing up. And so they've had 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years to look at these things and question the whole medical model because a lot more Americans are getting sicker than used to. But they refuse to look at that. And when I talk about it here on the show, I'm telling you a lot of it has to do with dietary and environmental factors that are being completely discounted by the medical establishment. They don't care what you eat. They don't care about your surroundings. They don't care about the chemicals you use in your home. They don't care. They just have a pill for every ill. But listen to this. So I started looking at autoimmune disease, and I just did a quick search. I'm not even really capable probably of doing a whole show on this without a guest, but I may try to find one because I ran across this. This was from, I didn't clip it. It was like Birmingham or some, it was it wasn't Birmingham. It was Bellingham or something like that, Memorial Health Systems or something like that. This was a a medical site for a hospital. Listen to these statistics on autoimmune disease in the United States. Autoimmune disease is recognized as a major health crisis in the United States. Today, 50 million Americans, 80% of whom are women, suffer one or more autoimmune conditions. 30 years ago, and again, this is why is nobody asking these questions? 30 years ago, only one in 400 people developed an autoimmune disease. Okay, you got that? What's that, 30 years ago, 1990? Only one in 400 people developed an autoimmune disease. Today, one in 12 Americans. One in nine women have an autoimmune disease. More women are diagnosed each year with an autoimmune disease than breast cancer and cardiovascular disease combined. Am I off target to be questioning what's going on with the health of people in the United States and questioning the model that has gotten us here? Am I the one off base? Or am I looking at something that says autoimmune disease has gone from 1 in 400 people to 1 in 12? And that's 1 in 9 of women. Boy, I got to tell you, something's wrong. And when I see medical professionals who poo-poo when people want to research vaccines and they say, oh, the science is settled on that. That's ridiculous. That's all been debunked. Well, okay, then tell us why autoimmune diseases are up from 1 in 400 to 1 in 12. Now, I don't know if it's vaccines. What about GMO foods? Mainstream medical advice right now is don't pay any attention to genetically modified foods. That's conspiracy stuff. Everything's fine. It's been tested. They've deemed it as safe as anything else. Okay, well, if it's not vaccines and it's not food, are you doing any other investigation that tells me why it used to be 1 in 400 people? This is just over 30 years. So we can just look in the span of 30 years. What has been real new in the last 30 years? One is the vaccine schedule. One is the number of the number of vaccines that people are getting. And the vaccines, I'm not making this connection. I'm just telling you. I'm just using my common sense as a layperson, and I think, well, vaccines are designed to do things with your, what? Immune system. So is there any tie to the fact that we're getting so many more vaccines now than we used to, which meddle around with our immune system, and now we have autoimmune diseases? I don't know, but it seems logical to look at. But what does Mike Madison know? I got no medical training. GMOs got really into our food. I think it was 1996 is when they were approved for use, and they became in everything. So people are eating a ton of this glyphosate stuff. Is it worth questioning that just, you know, 24 years ago, we started eating these genetically modified foods sprayed with all of these herbicides and pesticides, and in that time, we've gone from 1 in 400 people having autoimmune diseases to 1 in 12. Is that any kind of connection? I don't know. But see, all of these explanations are dismissed. But what is happening is that the market for any treatments or drugs or whatever they use for each one of these different autoimmune diseases has gone from they used to have one in every 400 people were a customer for them to now they have one out of every 12 people are a customer for them. And I got to tell you, cynical as I am, maybe that's why they don't want to look back and try to dissect what's happened to create this problem and get rid of it and solve it. Because at this trajectory, soon, they won't have just 1 in 400 people as a customer or just 1 in 12 people as a customer. Soon, I guess, on this trajectory, they'll have maybe what? 1 in 3, 1 in 4 people will be a customer for all of these treatments and diseases. And people will make tons of money. The American people will suffer, of course, with more new disease. But the financial aspect of it will be fantastic. Anyway, those are just a couple of stories to take a look at between the pharmaceutical rep who tells me, oh, the doctors didn't want that. They didn't want something that would save a patient from having another surgery because that's where all the money's made, in the surgeries, not on the stents. You don't want to just put it in one stent. You want to put in a stent every few years. I hope that's just a rogue bunch of doctors, but I got to tell you, my Spidey sensors are going off. Anyway, we'll move on to some other things. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. All night, with the king.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul.
If you ever hear me discussing topics and want to research more on your own, you can feel free. I've kind of told you how to make the searches yourself. You can treat natural treatments, you know, for these kinds of things, or given you in the past many doctors that I believe are good resources of things. But you can also get my show notes. I've got a very interesting article here that I just cannot read. I'm looking through it, and I'm like, there's no way to do this on the radio. And it's about quercetin as opposed to hydroxychloroquine. That they have some of the same functionality. Now, I'm not telling anybody to use quercetin. If you want to research this thing, I'll read you a little bit from it, but then I'll read you a little bit of the sciencey stuff. I'll show you exactly why it's no good. They were talking about exploring about quercetin and vitamin C. Right now, you know, the doctors yesterday who were the fans of hydroxychloroquine, and that's fine if it works and it saves lives and it, you know, protects people and there aren't side effects that most people experience. I'm all for a pharmaceutical that works if it works. But if there's a natural alternative, it might be something worth exploring too. For example, a review article published June 19th, 2020, issues of Frontiers in Immunology, highlights quercetin's usefulness as a COVID-19 treatment, especially in conjunction with vitamin C. Quercetin is also featured in a review of emerging COVID-19 research published in the Integrative Medicine Journal, as reported by MedPage Today. Now, here's why I don't do this. It can't do too much more of this on the radio, but if you want to email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, I'll send you the link to this story along with the rest of my health notes, and you can take a look at it yourself. And maybe some of you more scientifically minded will understand some of this. Here's some of it. Quercetin promotes SIRT2, which then inhibits the NLRP3 inflammasome assembly involved with COVID-19 infection, said Samuel Yannick, D.C., of the Program of Integrative Medicine at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill School of Medicine. You know, I mean, kind of difficult. Maybe there's people out there who know what SIRT2 and NLRP3 inflammasome assembly is, but I do not. It doesn't make for good radio. But it's just interesting because it's so good that there are researchers out there studying things like quercetin. The problem is they don't get any. They're not going to get the same level of hype nationally because the major networks, there's nobody advertising quercetin on Fox News or CNBC or NBC, ABC, CBS. The quercetin lobby is pretty small when it comes to Congress, but there are all kinds of things and natural treatments. And it's one of those things that, you know, if we ever stopped to actually look at some of the natural things that are out there that are very efficacious and do well without the same kind of side effects of some of these pharmaceuticals, we might actually start to solve some of these problems. And with that, I'm going to play this horrible audio. And the information in it is so good that it spurred me to a little level of action. I'm going to throw it in here because it's about garlic. I've talked about garlic several times. I found some interesting things in this clip, but it's a terrible. It's only a couple of minutes here, but the audio's bad. The voices are kind of, I don't know, it's just a weird style. It's not put together. It's not a real slick presentation, but it's got some great information on garlic. And so I thought I'd go ahead and play it anyway, regardless of the fact it's kind of weird audio.
Garlic is amazing and has many beneficial effects on the body. Studies have found that it can boost our immune systems. In this 12-week study, a daily garlic supplement reduced the number of colds by 63% compared with placebo. And the average length of cold symptoms were also reduced by 70%.
See, I think that's kind of funny just in that. They said in a 12-week study, the people who took a garlic supplement reduced their chances of cold by 63%. That's pretty statistically significant. Just funny to me because we're constantly told there is no cure for the common cold. I used to get colds and flus and bronchitis and all kinds of things every single year until I changed my diet, and I haven't had a cold in 15 years now. I don't know if you consider that a cure, but it seems like garlic is one way to avoid getting a cold that feels kind of like a cure.
From 5 days in the placebo group to just 1.5 days in the garlic group. Garlic can also lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol.
Actually, this is one of the reasons I said this was a bad audio. It's actually showing some of these studies from PubMed as this video goes on. So it's showing scientific backing for some of these claims.
And protect the body against heavy metal toxicity. These are just a few of the amazing benefits of garlic. But now we're going to hear from Dr. Michael Greger as he explains the impact it can have on cancer.
Garlic is actually the earliest known plant-based remedy for cancer. The ancient Egyptians were using garlic to treat cancer over 3,500 years ago. Well, now, 3,500 years later, new study just out of Japan, those that ate 10 grams of allium family vegetables a day, right? Scallions, chives, garlic, onions, leeks, etc. It was just 10 grams a day cut the risk of prostate cancer in half. Now that is 3 cloves of garlic a day, or just 1 tablespoon of chopped onions a day, you cut your risk of prostate cancer in half. This is how we think garlic works. Every cell in our body is equipped with a fail-safe mechanism to prevent cancer called programmed cell death. If a cell builds up too many mutations, if its DNA is damaged beyond repair, the cell literally commits suicide to prevent itself from turning cancerous. Here's a photograph of it actually happening. I'm taking it under a microscope. This is a normal cell. This is a cell that basically just blew itself up. Cancer cells don't die, though. These cancer cells somehow found a way to turn off the self-destruct mechanism. That's where garlic comes in. Garlic somehow seems to reprogram in the self-destruct. You drip some garlic extract on human liver cancer cells, human colon cancer cells, human skin cancer, and all of a sudden these cells look at themselves in the mirror, realize just how horribly mutated they are, and kill themselves right on the spot.
So, just interesting. Garlic, another one of these natural things. The reason I even included it in my show today, it kind of spurred me. I went out and got some more garlic. I will tell you, if you decide to try to add a little bit more garlic into your diet, and it's good to eat it raw, if you can chop it up and put it in things. Sometimes I'll put it in hummus. It will cost you like $1. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you, a good organic clove of garlic, which will last you for probably a couple of weeks if you just eat a clove a day, it will cost you $1. You can understand why garlic is not advertising on the major networks and telling you that it's good for your health. Anyway, I'll be right back. We're going to get into some sunscreen stuff today. It's getting a little late in the year, but COVID knocked sunscreen off my radar. But some pretty interesting facts from a doctor we'll hear from on sunscreen and some of the chemicals that have been found in some of these sunscreens based on it. I went to it because I saw a new headline that I'll get to in just a second. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I ran across this story. Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. This is Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use, and this is not natural, not a natural health story. Listen to this. This just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Fast food chain Kentucky Fried Chicken debuted the, quote, restaurant of the future last month in Moscow. U.S. fast food chain unveiled a storefront dominated by automation and food lockers, a move that would allow for a contactless environment to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. I got to tell you, I see a lot of robotics coming out of this thing if it continues. Now, here's where it gets creepy. Besides reinventing the front end of the store with robots and artificial intelligence, the back end is getting revamped as well. According to a recent company press release, 3D printing technology will be used to produce chicken nuggets. KFC partnered with 3D bioprinting solutions to create cell-based, quote, chicken meat, unquote, in labs that will be as, quote, close as possible in both taste and appearance to the original KFC product, unquote, with product testing expected this fall. I think this is from their press release. 3D bioprinting solutions is developing additive bioprinting technology using chicken cells and a plant material, allowing it to reproduce the taste and texture of chicken meat almost without involving animals in the process. KFC will provide its partner with all of the necessary ingredients, such as breading and spices, to achieve their signature KFC taste. At the moment, there are no other methods available on the market that could allow the creation of such complex products from animal cells, press release said. I got to tell you, I have zero interest. KFC, fried chicken in general, man, what a tasty treat. I'll admit a weakness to fried chicken, and KFC certainly has got a recipe that has done it well over the years. I don't know a swerve into a 3D printed chicken nugget is exactly going to be what is going to be beneficial to our health. All right, let's get into this stuff. Here's what I ran into. I ran into a story, I think this was Wall Street Journal, just a few days ago. Normally, just about every spring, I do a story about sunscreen. I often challenge the idea that the sun is out to kill us all. It just doesn't make logical sense to me as a human being on planet Earth that we've survived for however long we've survived, millennia, underneath this death orb that we see around us. But we're told constantly to run from the sun and never get in the sun. This was in the Wall Street Journal a few days ago. For the second time in less than a year, a study of common sunscreen ingredients has established that the chemicals are absorbed into the bloodstream at concentrations far greater than the Food and Drug Administration's safety threshold. According to the FDA, if active ingredients are found in the blood at levels of 0.5 nanograms per milliliter or higher, they should be analyzed to determine whether they increase the risk of cancer, birth defects, or adverse effects. And this is sunscreens accumulating up in the system, is what it's saying. And I say that because, as I say, we've been taught to run from the sun, hide from the sun, and slather ourselves in these chemical compounds. I'm going to play a clip. I'll go ahead and do it now. I'm going to play a clip. This is from a doctor. Let me get her last name. Dr. Mindy Pites, where she talks about sunscreen. This is from last spring, so she's probably going to reference studies before this latest Wall Street Journal, but the Wall Street Journal does say for the second time in less than a year, so these studies on sunscreens are coming out. She gives some tips on how to avoid some of this chemical exposure if you're going out in the sun.
Okay, Dr. Mindy here, and I really want to talk about an important study that came out recently in the last week on sunscreen. What I have to say over the next couple of minutes is seriously life-saving, so take notes, listen, because what they are now showing are the chemicals in sunscreen are getting into our bloodstream, and they're staying in our bloodstream anywhere from 24 hours to 4 days, okay? And there are four chemicals that they're concerned about. This was in JAMA. This is a medical journal that did this study. And what they have found with these four chemicals, I'm going to talk about two, is that they are cancer-causing, they are hormone disruptors, and they will change your DNA. So the first thing I want you to understand is that there are two types of sunscreen. There are chemical-based sunscreen and there is mineral-based sunscreen, okay? So chemical-based sunscreen are your spray-on sunscreens for the most part. Mineral-based sunscreens are like, this is one we use. It's just, I mean, I'm not partial. This just happens to be one we use, which is Sunny Body. And they are like your zinc oxides that when you rub them on you, it just takes forever to rub them in. So with the chemical-based sunscreens, there are two chemicals that they're concerned about or have has the most amount of research in it showing that it's damaging your health. So the first one is called avobenzene. And avobenzene, what's interesting is that it does block the sun, but only for 30 minutes. So within 30 minutes, this bloodstream has been, or this chemical has been absorbed into your bloodstream. The research on avobenzene shows that it damages your skin and speeds up wrinkles, which is crazy, right? I mean, we put the sunscreen on to prevent wrinkles. It increases cancer because it's a endocrine disruptor, and it creates free radicals in your body that will destroy DNA. Okay, so go immediately following this video, go and look up avobenzene and see if it's in your sunscreen, okay? Second chemical I want you to go look up is oxybenzone. This one is the worst, and there are so many studies on it. This is the part that like baffles me. So when this study came out in the last week, you may have seen it come through your newsfeed. One of the things that the experts were saying is, well, you still need to stay out of the sun because the number one cancer right now in America is skin cancer. Okay, just hold that thought for a moment. I went and did some research on oxybenzone. So Environmental Working Group, this is what a quote from them, that once in your bloodstream, oxybenzone can attack your DNA and contribute to melanoma. Okay, so what have we been doing for the last several decades? We have been spraying ourselves with chemical sunscreens, and this is the number one cancer that Americans are getting. I feel like I'm getting like a deja vu of fat. We took fat out of our diet and we got more heart disease. We're spraying more chemicals on our skin and we're getting more skin cancer. So again, I want to encourage you to think for yourself. So go look at the Environmental Working Group, their website. There's a bunch of studies and alternatives for sunscreens. They rate them on there. Go check them out. Other things that I found in my research on oxybenzone, it acts as an estrogen mimicker. So those women, those of you guys that are like working with perimenopause and menopause, understand that it's throwing your hormones off. So here you're like over in this area trying to balance your progesterone and your estrogen, and it's completely throwing your hormones off. So it's also contributing to breast cancer. Estrogen dominance, estrogen mimickers, holy cow, this is why we have so much breast cancer going on in our world today. Okay, last thing that, again, these are like, I spent the morning researching the different studies. I could have spent days. There are so many studies on these two chemicals and how harmful they are, especially this oxybenzone. So the U.S. Center for Disease Control basically said that oxybenzone is proving to be so dangerous, they do not recommend it on kids. Okay. That just blows me away. So we are spraying this toxic chemical on our kids because it's more convenient to spray it, get them out into the pool, get them out into the ocean. We got to spray it on there because we've been taught to do that. And what the U.S. Center for Disease Control is saying, don't put this on your children. So this is the kind of stuff that just blows my mind, makes me irate, and is the reason why I do everything that I do here on my YouTube channel. So please make sure you do not spray oxybenzone on your children. The last thing, and this is really a global impact, there is a study done out of King's College in 2016 showing that oxybenzone is destroying our coral reefs. So Hawaii is so concerned about this right now that by 2021, They've outlawed any kind of sunscreens, any kind of chemicals-based sunscreens from being used because the coral reefs are being destroyed. Australia is doing the same. So I can't emphasize enough these toxic chemical spray-on. It's more than just the spray-on. It's the ones that rub into your skin really easy. Start to read your labels. Go to the environmental working group and look to see if it's a toxic sunscreen. They are destroying your health. They are ruining your hormones. They are causing you to age quicker. They're giving you skin cancer. You've got to avoid them and move to more of the mineral-based. The mineral-based has zinc in it, and so that's why it's super hard to rub in. You know, like if you rub this in, you know, this is the one that's not so easy. This is the one that's like, oh man, like, is this ever going to be rubbed in? And your kids are like frustrated because they can't get in the pool. Well, you just tell them, I love you so much. I want to make sure that I only give you natural sunscreens. It may take me a little longer to rub this in, but at least I'm not putting chemicals on your skin. That's what you say. Okay.
So there you go. It's like diet sodas. Diet sodas, I've seen a ton of studies out there. I've read them on air that diet sodas are making people fat, that diet sodas are causing people to get diabetes. There are studies linking these things together. It is one of the craziest things in the world. And I want you to, you know, if you hear that, listen to her reference the FDA and the CDC. Where are they? The FDA has allowed these things on our shelves for decades. And on top of that, too, I pulled up a chart of the rate of U.S. of melanoma in the U.S. Now, I believe that sunscreen and all of its, we had tanning oils and things like that. I don't know if they were good or bad for a while, but it seems like really it was the 1970s when they started coming out and telling you that the sun was going to kill you. You need to coach yourself in this stuff before you go out in the sun. It's going to kill you. I looked at a chart of the rate of melanoma in the United States, and looking at this chart, not good to do by audio, but it's on my show notes if you email me for it. Back in 1973, this is done by decades, but around 1973, it was about 6 people in 100,000 people got melanoma. That chart is like a ascending staircase straight up to, in the most recent, just on this chart, and I just grabbed it real quick during the break, is around 2005, and that number was up to around 20, probably actually around 18 or 19. So we've gone from 6 or 7 to around 18, 19 per 100,000 people. Melanoma rates during this time we've been slathering on these sunscreens has just gone up. And again, this is not the number of people, because I know we've got a growing population. This is your percentage of people getting melanomas. And this is during the sunscreen craze. And again, nobody seems to really want to pay attention to it, but at least the Wall Street Journal is still reporting on these things. It just doesn't hit the mainstream news. Outside of this, have you heard anything about those chemicals and sunscreens? I highly doubt it. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. All right, only got a couple minutes left. Not time to get into a new topic. If you were listening just a second ago to this woman, again, I'm going to give you the title of her video. You can email me for my show notes, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, if you want to see that video and share it with people, particularly parents, because she's talking about spraying these chemicals on your kids and that there are actual advisories. The CDC is saying, don't spray these chemicals on your kids. But nobody knows that, do they? Seems like the CDC is kind of missing in action. It's like they whisper it. The video was, Is Sunscreen Causing Cancer? By Dr. Mindy Pites. And that's, or Pies, it's P-E-I-Z. Dr. Mindy P-E-I-Z, Is Sunscreen Causing Cancer? The two chemicals she mentions that you can check your sunscreens for are avobenzene, A-V-O, benzone, B-E-N-Z-O-N-E, avobenzone, and oxybenzone. It's kind of funny. There was a story kind of mocking the other day. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, one of the oligarchs, the guy's worth, I don't know what, $50 billion. They showed a picture of him on the beach. They were laughing at him because he had this white stuff on his face. They said, oh, you look like you used a little bit too much sunscreen. But I guarantee you probably what it was. This is one of the elites who knows, I'm not putting those chemicals that all the cattle put on them that's causing them cancer, and he's trying to use this zinc oxide stuff, and it does not rub in well. To expose to you what a nerd I am when it comes to the health stuff, I have made my own sunscreen before. I can't remember where I found the recipe. If I find it, I'll share it or put a link in my show notes one day. But I got, you can order zinc, and I can't remember, there was coconut oil and some other things in there, but I made this stuff. It was a pain to rub in, I got to tell you. But it was kind of nice to know that I was not slathering myself in these two, you know, endocrine disruptors. I am currently without any male boobs, moobs. I'm on a war here on this show. You've heard it mentioned many times. I'm on a war against male boobs, which are moobs. So I didn't cover myself in endocrine disruptors. I did have to take a little bit of heat from my kids when they made fun of me because their father is making his own sunscreen. You know, that's the kind of stuff I do, though. But anyway, it's stunning information. That's a great video, and I really do encourage people. Again, email me. I'll send you the link to it, and you can share it with people, because if people knew this, I mean, it's just there are sunscreens out there that do not have these things in them. So it's not saying don't ever use sunscreen. It's saying just pick some without these ingredients. Also, go to the Environmental Working Group, it's EWG. It may be EWG.org, but you can just do an internet search for Environmental Working Group. They got a ton of great information about personal cosmetics, about sunscreens, about foods. They call the Dirty Dozen, what you really need to buy organic versus what you don't really have to buy organic if you're trying to save some money. It's a real wealth of information, very good stuff. And again, that's Environmental Working Group, EWG. That's all the time I got today. Have a fantastic day. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.